It's getting ready for trumpets and atonement and the feast. It's amazing how time flies and how next thing you know it, it's here. It's like 2 months ago we were just talking about it, how far away it is and how quickly it just approaches. You know, the Feast of Trumpets has many meanings for you and I. Trumpets pictures war, time when Christ comes down with the saints following him, puts an end to Satan's society. He's going to put an end to the me movement, because we all think about me. That's what we're trying to change in our lives. He's going to put an end to this world's governments. They will be crushed, as it says in Daniel, talking about how the stone comes down from heaven and crushes the image. You can also picture our change, the guarantee of the promise actually becoming a reality. We will be given eternal life as literal children of God. And of course, the world scoffs at that teaching, but that's something that we really hold on to and cling to. We're going to be kings and priests as well, fulfilling both roles as teachers and servants in the world tomorrow. And there's many other things, but one thing I'd like to talk to you about, I get a few messages on this before. Last time I gave this message, Roger said, why don't you change it around a little bit and talk about a different aspect of it. So that's what I'm doing today. Turn to Revelation 19, and then we'll find out what we're talking about. Revelation 19, verses 1 through 4, pictures the fall of Babylon and this world's false religious and governmental structures. And then in verse 5 of Revelation 19, it says, then a voice came down from the throne saying, praise our God, all you, his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of great multitude as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Are we making ourselves ready? Are you making? Am I making myself ready? You know, if we're not changed and don't meet Christ in the air, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to miss our own wedding. Do we really want that? The word make here in verse 7 means to make ready or to prepare, to make necessary preparations. It's a planning ahead. Are we planning ahead and making necessary preparations to be the bride of Christ? You know, when we attend the feast or we keep the feast days, do we not plan ahead months in advance, especially for the Feast of Tabernacles? Of course we do. Should we not be do so more preparing for our own wedding? Now Christ, the Lamb, marries the church, but we as individuals make up that body, that church. And to be there, we must prepare ourselves to be with the church, to be with the resurrected body. In Ephesians 4:16, I'll just read that. It says, Ephesians 4:16, the whole body joined and knit together. To what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share. We all are responsible for ourselves and for the church. Causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So you and I make up the church. And we are to be joined and knit together. Also, the word make here in verse 7 in the Greek also has a metaphorical meaning, which is an oriental custom of sending on before kings on their journeys. So the kings would send out these people, and they would be sent out to level the roads to make them passable so the king doesn't get jolted around, I guess, and hit speed bumps or whatever, potholes or whatever. He wants a nice level surface so he can go across wherever he's traveling to. Who did this for you and I? Jesus Christ did. He is our trailblazer. He is the one who went on before. He is the author of our salvation. The one who became king, or who is to become king, is the one who leveled the path for you and I. I think that's kind of interesting, what he did for us. Verse 8. And to her it was granted to the bride, to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And that's what I want to talk about today. And that's what I think Roger was trying to point at is, what are the righteous acts? What makes up that wedding garment? You and I are to be arrayed in fine linen. It's to be clean and bright. And the word there means clean and bright. It means translucent or brilliant. We should shine like a diamond, like a ruby, a sapphire, like gold. And the list goes on of the gems that you could shine like. So let's find out what the righteous acts of the saints are. But to do so, we must find out what we are to be arrayed with, what we are to be clothed with, what is to be our wedding garment. And once we find that out, then we'll be able to find out what the righteous acts of the saints are. Again, the word arrayed here in the Greek is periobalo. It's periobalo. And it means to cast around or cast about or put on clothes. That's from the Vines New Testament Dictionary. Crosswalk, which uses Thayer's lexicon, says to throw around, to put around us. But metaphorically, it was used to surround a city with a bank or a palisade. So you have a city and you would have this bank around it or a palisade around it protecting the city. It's a type of protection. To array oneself is like a cloak that is slung around and wrapped around us. In this case, it's who we are, in a sense. Do you remember Matthew 25? We're going to look at two negative, before we get into this, we're going to look at two negative aspects of the wedding garment. Hopefully that'll help you understand. We're going to come back just a little bit here and there to a couple of these scriptures, just in passing by, but I think this will help us understand, help me understand more of what I'm talking about today. Matthew 25 and verse 1. This is the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now again, a parable it's not to be taken literal. It's a teaching. Christ is trying to get points across here. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. These 5 were not properly clothed, as it were, because they neglected the Holy Spirit. They lost that attachment to God sometime down the road, and they didn't have God's Spirit. And the God's Spirit enables us to be clothed, or properly clothed, I should say. Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Verse 8. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." You know, we cannot get into the marriage of the Lamb on someone else's coattails. We cannot get into God's kingdom on someone else's coattails. We can't depend on someone else to get us into the kingdom. Verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should be not enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. You know, the foolish, again, this is a parable, remember, it's not to be taken literal. The foolish did not understand how God works. The Holy Spirit cannot be bought, it cannot be sold. We must be in constant use of God's Spirit. We cannot neglect this gift that God has given us. It's one of the greatest gifts that God has given us. Let's read verse 10 again. It says, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, those who had the wedding garment on, who were prepared, those who were ready went with him to the wedding, and the door was shut." We have to be those people who are ready. That's our goal. Verse 12. Now, the verse 11, it says, Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." The door shut. They came back. It was shut. They didn't know what to do. But he answered and said, "And surely I say to you, I do not know you. What a tragic phrase to hear. Why was this said? Why did Christ say this? I'll just read Romans 8, verse 9. You don't need to turn there. I've got it written down here. Romans 8, 9 says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. He doesn't know you." That's why we need to be in a constant relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. In other words, there is no relationship being established. And that's why this phrase was said, "I do not know you." Second example, Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verses 1 through 7, speaking of the Old Testament, Israel and Judah being called by God in a sense. And they rejected God and followed after false religions. Both Israel and the northern tribes and Judah were destroyed, taken captive. Cities were burned, they're destroyed. Jerusalem was destroyed in a sense. And then we come to verse 8 of this parable. "Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy.'" You know, the Old Testament, only the few in the Old Testament were worthy. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Sarah, Deborah, Ruth. You name Ezekiel, Isaiah, all these people, they're going to be part of the wedding. But some of these people were not worthy. Israel was not worthy. My question for you and I, are we worthy? And what makes us worthy? Well, God through Christ makes us worthy. Again, we must still do our part, but we also must stay in that relationship through that Holy Spirit. But we have to do our part. And we'll get through, as we go through this, we'll see how that works out. Verse 9. "Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests." So pictures the new calling, pictures the calling of the New Testament church from out of the world. Verse 11. "But when the king came to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on wedding garments." Wasn't properly dressed. Are we knitting and putting together our wedding garment? Are we going to be ready when Christ returns? Or are we neglecting to do so? I'm talking to myself as well. Not just you, I'm talking to me. Am I preparing my wedding garment? Verse 12. "So he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless." It was as if the guest was surprised, much like the five foolish virgins. Again, a failure to see how God works. Who God is and who Christ is. Not clarifying, it's not clear in their minds how God really works. Verse 14. Verse 13. "Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" So not a very good thing when we're not ready for the wedding. Verse 14, "For many are called, but few are chosen." You know, God's calling millions to this wedding feast. But it seems that no one is really willing to give up the world with all its entrapments. You and I did that. You and I gave up the world in its ways, hopefully. Only a few choose to truly follow God, and that's here in this room. And sadly, there's going to be even fewer than that as we go through life. We go through time. Let's read verse 11 and 12 again. "But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And the man was speechless." We need to remember that this is a parable here in Matthew 22 as well as Matthew 25. In reality, no one without a proper wedding garment will make it into God's kingdom. They're not going to sneak in. They're not going to be able to get into the kingdom of God or get into the wedding God will not allow that to happen. You cannot fool God. So, what is our wedding garment? What are we to be arrayed with? How is this garment meant to be and meant to be put together? How are we supposed to do that? Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. We'll go through here for a few scriptures and find out how this is done. Verse 12. That you should have a walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Walking with God is the key. Stay on the path and don't go astray. Remember, Christ leveled the path for you and I. Stay on that path. Don't stray. Verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it. Not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you which you believe. God's word must be received as truth, not a suggestion. We must let God's word work in us. How do we do that? Turn over to 1 John. There's all kinds of ways to do that. I think we understand some of them, but let's go through this. 1 John 2 and verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, remember we just talked about in 1 Thessalonians 2:12 that we need to keep the word as truth. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, and by this we know that we are in him. So we must keep his word. And to keep the word keep in the Greek word is terio, T-E-R-E-O, and it means to attend to carefully, to guard or to hold fast. In other words, it's got to be a part of us. We come to know that we are in him and he in us, and that can only be through the Holy Spirit. That's how it works. Verse 6, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So we just read in 1 Thessalonians 2:11, we have to walk in his steps. He was our forerunner. He is our trailblazer, and we must follow Christ. 1 John 4. 1 John 4, verse 12 and 13. Excuse me. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. That's how we know we abide in God, because we have his Holy Spirit. We prepare our wedding garment by keeping God's word, having God's love perfected in us. And again, using that Holy Spirit that he gave us to do so. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 4. That the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. We are to walk according to the Spirit. We are spiritual beings when God has given us the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What's your mind? What's my mind set on? We must walk according to God's Spirit. And the five foolish virgins didn't do this. They walked according to the flesh. They depended on self, and they depended on others. And what was done to them? The door was shut on them. They didn't depend on God. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, which it does, we receive God's Spirit at baptism. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwells in you. So we must have the Spirit to be in the wedding feast. It is through the Spirit we are able to prepare our wedding garment. We can't do it without God's Spirit. The problem with the surprise guest in Matthew 22 is he or she thought they had God's Spirit, when in reality he or she didn't. We must have God's Spirit to knit together our wedding garment. Can't clarify that enough. Philippians 3:9 says, I'll just read Philippians 3:9. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. We need to have God's righteousness living in us. And that's how we can prepare the wedding garment. So we must allow God's Spirit to work in us and build godly righteousness, not our own. It must be through faith. And it's through faith we can allow God to prepare for us our wedding garment. Turn over to Psalms 50. This is an interesting scripture. You know, Zion means not just the physical place in Jerusalem. Zion can also mean the church, the body of Christ. Psalms 50 verse 2 says, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Well, when Christ returns, he'll be in Zion, and believe me, the beauty of God will shine forth. But it also shines forth in the church. It shines forth in us individually. What's it say? Now, I'll go there a little bit later. Oh, yeah. We are to be lights of the world. That's how we shine forth. We are examples. We are to be lights in this world. God does shine forth in us. Verse 5. So, verse 2. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Gather my saints together to me. So here we're talking about the church, the saints, the body of Christ. Those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. We are living sacrifices, are we not? Or we're supposed to be living sacrifice on a daily basis? We sacrifice ourselves on a daily basis to God. You and I made a covenant with God, and our names are written in the invitation to the wedding. You know, we're written in the book of life. We're written in the invitation to the wedding. Do you want to break that covenant and have the door shut in your face? Shut in my face? That's scary stuff. We just have to do our part. That's the easy part. We have to do our part. Don't quit preparing the wedding garment. So as we finish this up, let's look at elements of the wedding garment and see what the wedding garment is made of. What are you and I to put on? What are we to be clothed with? What are we to put on ourselves? Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which is created according to God. Not according to man. Not according to my thoughts, the way I think I should be, but according to God. In righteousness and true holiness. So we need to put on the new man. It is God's doing. We are to be completely different from what we were before. Sometimes I wonder if I'm doing a good job, because what I was before always creeps up. The old man kind of pops up his old ugly head, and you got to stomp on his head and push him back down into the grave and the dirt. It's not easy being a Christian. It's not easy doing what we do. It's a profession. We are to think and we are to act differently. And we are supposed to do this by renewing the Spirit on a daily basis. Ephesians 4:23 says that. Not daily, but I guess we can understand that it means daily. Colossians 3:10. I'll just read that here. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. God is creating in us a new man, a new woman, a new person. And it's according to his image. How can we deny that and turn our back on God's truth? So you and I are to put on the new man. What else are we to put on? Romans 11 or Romans 13. Whoops, way past Romans, in the opposite direction. Romans 13. Verse Verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Are we sleeping? Am I sleeping? Hopefully not. Hopefully you're aware of what's going on in this world. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. You know, I'm getting older. And pretty soon, salvation for me is going to be here. I hope I'm ready. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So we are to put on God's armor, the armor of light. Verse 13, let us walk properly. Remember we talked about that in 1 Thessalonians 2 and 1 John. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not as the old man did, not as the way I was before I came into God's church. Not in licentiousness and lewdness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do that? How do we put on Jesus Christ? Galatians 3. I think we know the steps to do that. The Bible tells us, though. Galatians 3, verse 26. I'll let you turn there because I want you to read this with me because it helps us kind of grasp what's really being said. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We went into the same baptismal waters Christ did. When he went into the grave, those baptismal waters picture that. We put on Christ by being baptized, by receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. He lives in us through that Holy Spirit. No other way. Can't be done any other way. Philippians 2:5, as Tim read earlier, says, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. The very mind of God is in us through the Holy Spirit. And with that mind, we should be able to follow God's laws, keep his ways. But it's not easy. It's hard. Satan's out there. He'll never give up to destroy God's work. The word let in the Greek here in verse Philippians 2:5 has a connotation of submission. Submission to the mind of God. So we put on the new man, we put on Christ, the mind of God, and we submit to the lead or the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 64, verse 8. How do we do that? How do we submit to that guidance of the Holy Spirit? There's a fine line between letting God do it and then we have to do our part to do. Isaiah 64, verse 8 says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. And you are our potter. And all we are the work of your hands. We are God's work. Let him work in us. Do we see it this way? We must do our part also, but we must submit and let God have his work in us by letting God prepare our wedding garment and showing us how to put it together. It's a team effort. Psalms 90, I want you to turn to this scripture. I've read this, I don't know how many times, numerous times. It's amazing how sometimes you read something, all of a sudden, poof, really makes a lot of sense. I guess it's because when you're thinking of a certain subject, and then this fits in perfectly with the subject. Psalms 90, verse 17. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Can we do that? Can I do that? Let God's beauty be upon us. And establish the work of our hands for us. See, it's a team effort. He works in us, and then we have to do our part. Yes, establish the work of our hands. We must let God establish the work of our hands. It is a submission to God, and yet still we have to do our part. God will not do it all for us, but he gives us the tools, as it were. So we are to put on the new man. We put on Christ, his mind, through the Holy Spirit. Let God work in us. Let us be shapeable, moldable. We are clay. God's the potter. Let's now see what is our wedding garments, what our wedding garments are made of. Galatians 5. Don't turn there because just 5:22 verse 33 shows the fruits of the Spirit. It says, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are things that must be a part of you and I. They must be put on as well. They must be part of the wedding garment. But it doesn't say to put on here, does it? Are we supposed to just, that's it, let it go there? No, turn over to Colossians, because Colossians kind of wraps this up and shows us what are we to put on. And I think it makes it clear that it's not, that it includes the fruits of the Spirit. It includes so much more. Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect, the chosen of God, you and I have been chosen, called out of this world. Do we understand? Sometimes I take it for granted, and then I have to get on my knees and say, oh, I've taken it for granted. We can't do that. The elect of the God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. These are things we're to put on. This is part of our wedding garment. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, patient with situations, patience with people. I need help in that area and so many other areas, but that's one thing I really need help is patience. Bearing with one another, helping another people, help other people. Forgiving one another. Forgiveness is a fruit. It is something that is part of the wedding garment. Being merciful to a person is part of the wedding garment. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave, so you also must do. We must be willing to forgive. The word put in the Greek here, when it says put on, it means to sink into. I'm trying to picture what that means. It's almost like when you go in a swimming pool, you just kind of drop in and sink into it. Well, you sink into the clothing. So we're to let these attributes, these part of the wedding garments, be part of who you and I are. Verse 14. But above all these things, what we just talked about above, everything else, it says, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. You know, putting on love covers the multitude of descriptive attitudes we are to put on. Without love, nothing else sticks. If you don't have love, these things aren't going to stick because you're not going to be merciful. You're not going to forgive. You're not going to be patient with one another. They'd slide right off. They were not based on love, if that's the situation, if we don't have love. Love is the bond that holds all these things together. 1 Peter 5. And I'm sure you could think of other things that you could come up with that's part of the wedding garment. I just looked up what clothes us, what we are to put on. 1 Peter 5, I thought Tim was going to touch on this, but he didn't. That's all right. It kind of ties in with his message too. 1 Peter 5 verse 5 says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yeah, younger people, submit yourselves to us. Oh, yeah, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. We're all to be submissive to one another. We're to be clothed with humility. And here again, the word clothed in the Greek is only used this one time in the New Testament. It means to band together or knot together, by which things are fastened together. You know, I have slacks on. I've got a button, a zipper, a button, another button, and a clasp that holds my pants on. Thank goodness I see you laughing over there. So our garment is supposed to fit perfectly. It's supposed to fit comfortably. You and I are to fasten our wedding garment so that it fits correctly. Our wedding garments are, as we've seen, is multifaceted. It's made of many colors: humility, patience, kindness, goodness, gems. These are all gems. These are all diamonds. These are all gold things, things that we are to put on to sparkle. Is that true? We're supposed to sparkle. Yeah, I'll turn over to Psalms 45. Again, one of my favorite passages in the Bible is Psalms 45. It talks about the wedding of Jesus Christ marrying the church. Psalms 45, verse 9. King's daughters are among your honorable women. At your right hand stands the queen in gold from Ophir. The church here is pictured as, we are individually, but also collectively a church, but we are to be arrayed in the finest of gold. Verse 10. Listen, O daughter, consider, incline your ear. Forget your own people also in your father's house. What are we told when we come out of the world? Leave your father and mother. You're going to cause problems. There's going to be problems in the family. I had real problems in the family when I left, came into God's church. Matthew 10, 34 through 37 says that. Verse 11. So the king will greatly desire your beauty because he is your Lord. Worship him. What we are preparing individually is our wedding garment, but also we are doing it collectively as a church, not just this body here, but worldwide. That is why we must love one another, help out where needed, help in preparing the church's wedding garment, just like it says in Ephesians 4:16, we are knit and bonded together. But let me ask you this question. Does God in Christ desire our beauty? Does he desire what we are knitting together? What are you and I embroidering, as it were? Verse 14. She shall be brought to the kings in robes of many colors. The virgins, her companions who follow her, shall be brought to you. So it's a garment of many colors, a lot of gemstones, a lot of diamonds, rubies, sapphires. Verse 13, let's go there. The royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. That's one. That's a great picture here. Her clothing is woven with gold. So our clothing is woven with gold. Woven in the Hebrew means a checkered work. It's like a setting for gems, as it says. It's a checkered work, and it's like you put gems in those little settings. It's plated with gold, interwoven, or it's likened to be braided. You and I are to be refined, and what is left is pure gold, a pure sapphire, a pure diamond, a pure ruby, emerald. Glittering, different colors. What's the city of Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, coming down with, looking like? Many colors. What a wonderful picture this is. But what are we really talking about here? I think we understand this, but we'll just go through the motions here. Is this literal garment, or is something more than just a literal garment? Well, I've pretty much clarified that, but let's just see what Peter says. 1 Peter 3. We're not talking about a literal garment. 1 Peter 3, verse 3. I'll let you turn there because I prefer for you to read this with me. Do not let your beauty be the outward adorning of your arranging of the hair, or wearing of gold, or putting on fine apparel. Now, he's not just talking to women here. When I was in school, this one guy would stand in front of the mirror, and he would spend a half hour getting his hair perfect for school. And I'm not joking. That's a literal thing. He would stand there forever getting his hair right. I still marvel at that. I keep on thinking about that. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible ornament, the jewel, the diamond, the gold, whatever it is, the ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Our wedding garment is of the heart. It is our character, and that's what God is building in us, in the church, but for us individually as well. It is not an outward appearance. When the king came to the guests in Matthew 22, verse 11 and 12, he saw someone without holy, righteous, spiritual character. He didn't see a dirty garment. He saw someone who didn't have God's spirit, was not clothed with humility. Our character is plated, woven, braided, stitched daily. It is who we are and what we allow God to do in us. We are to put on the new man, put on Christ, and put on all that we spoke about earlier. Revelation 19:8. Let's turn there real quick as we wrap this up. And to her was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Again, the word bright here means translucent or brilliant. There is no fooling God. Our character is very clearly seen by God in Christ. We are to put on that spiritual fine linen, which is the righteous acts of the saints. Again, let God work in us, then we have to do our part. Two more scriptures, and they're both in Philippians, and we're done. Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. We have a promise from God that he will complete the work. Let him weave that holy, righteous, spiritual character in us. And if we can do that, we need not worry, because he will complete that work. We won't worry about those dreadful words, I don't know you. Verse 12 of Philippians 2. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We have put our part, we have our part to do that includes giving ourselves up to God's will, allowing God to work in us. We have to stand up against the wiles of the devil and stay faithful to the truth of God. Prepare our wedding garment. Prepare to meet our Maker, our husband, Jesus Christ. Instead of hearing those awful words, I don't know you, we'll hear the very comfortable words saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Hope everyone enjoys trumpets and atonement, and of course the Feast of Tabernacles.